kids, have fun, but we're going to have more, just saying. So we are on week three, off the deep end. I heard recently somebody, a preacher, I think a lady, I can't remember who it was, but they were asked, do you need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? And she said, darling, I need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. We need the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. We need His power. We need His strength. We need His wisdom. And that's really what this series is about. We want to get out of the wading pool, the kiddie pool of our spiritual lives, and we want to jump into the deep end. We want to be in over our heads where we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what we're doing. Because otherwise, we're just doing our stuff. But if we're doing God's stuff, we need God's power. And so that's what this is about. And today, we're looking at from pathetic to prophetic. I love the Holy Spirit and His presence, but sometimes I wish He'd leave me more time to preach. But that's okay. So he can interrupt me anytime. It's awesome. But you need to listen fast. Can you put on your speedy listening? All right, because we got a lot of ground to cover, and I want to get to a place before we leave this morning, to a place where we have an opportunity for some practical application. Okay? That might sound scary, but it's not enough if we just hear about it. It needs to be activated in our lives. So here we go. You ready to listen fast? So by the word prophetic, sometimes we're scared by this word prophetic. I love Calvin, by the way. I don't know if you know Calvin and Hobbes, but I love Calvin. Snowmen, prophets of doom. The end is near. Spring is coming, I hope. So what are we talking about when we use the word prophetic? For the sake of this series and the sake of this message, we're talking about I'm going to lump all of the verbal gifts of the Spirit, the ways in which the Holy Spirit uses us to speak into the lives of other people as prophetic. Okay, so we're kind of lumping all of that together. And so So words of prophecy, tongues and interpretation, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Those are all gifts of the Spirit that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're lumping them together as ways that God speaks to His people. We had an example this morning of God getting our attention by speaking. God speaks through His word, right? God speaks through creation. It's called general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. When we look at the heavens, it speaks of the majesty of our Creator. When we look at the beauty of spring arriving, it says something about the majesty of our Creator. So creation speaks. God speaks through creation. He spoke most clearly through his son Jesus when he walked on this earth. But God still speaks today through his people. Now we need to, and we're going to talk more about this when we get to the from weird to wow message a couple weeks down the road. But we need to always be sure that when we're speaking for God in a prophetic sense, that it lines up with the scriptures, always. Because God is not going to contradict himself. He's not going to contradict his own nature. And so both in the content and the attitude with which we speak for God, it needs to line up with his word, always. This trumps anything we think God might be saying to us. However, having said that, God speaks to and through his people today. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And also, just to clarify, when we use the word prophecy, of course, there are two very different ways to use that word. They're kind of different, and they're connected, but when we hear talk about Bible prophecy, we often are talking about scriptures that talk about end things, what is to come, right? That's one of the ways we use the word prophecy. When God speaks in the Bible about things that are going to happen in the end days. And by the way, there are so many ways in which Bible prophecy is unfolding before our very eyes. You need to keep your eyes on what's happening in the Middle East, because that is where Bible prophecy is going to rapidly unfold in the days to come. But so that's one of the ways that we use the word prophecy. It is foretelling. Telling about something before it happens. Foretelling. So many, there are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that foretell things that will happen. In fact, there are over 300 specific scriptures about the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years, written hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene, there are over 300 specific, I mean, so specific as to say how he would die, where he would be born, I mean, incredibly specific things. And that's one of the things that gives the scriptures authority in as we approach them, is that God spoke very specific things and they came true. And there are hundreds of things about the end times as well that are talked about in Scripture that are unfolding. Some of them have already come true. For example, Israel becoming a nation in 1948 was an unthinkable thing for centuries. Israel had not been a viable nation for 2,500 years. Where else in the history of humanity did a nation not exist for 2,500 years and then it became a nation again? But in 1948, incredible, the Bible said it would happen, and in 1948, an incredible unfolding of Bible prophecy happened. I'm way off topic and I need to get back. We don't have time. But that's foretelling. But another aspect of prophecy is forthtelling, speaking forth what God is doing now or what's going on now in someone's life, in some situation. So there's a foretelling, speaking of the future, what is to come, and a forthtelling, declaring forth God's heart and God's intention towards the situation. Okay? Two different aspects. Prophetic voice of the church. Forthtelling. This aspect of forthtelling is the primary way that the gift of prophecy is used today. Yes, there are times when God will speak to the future of a situation. There are times when foretelling happens in prophetic gifts. I was visiting my father-in-law on Friday, and he was just the night before at a conference in Moncton there where he heard someone speak. And this guy, I think he said he was 40, he's 45, and the speaker. And he talked about how God had recently told him that he was going to get married again. He had been divorced and, you know, whatever. And he was, I'm going to bring someone into your life. And he's like, God, I don't know if I want to go back there. Right? Been there, done that. I don't know if I want to go back there. And God said, no, I'm going to bring along beside you a partner in ministry and a partner in life. And so he said, well, you know, that's up to you, Lord. And God said, I'm going to bring someone young into your life. And he's like, okay, not too young, Lord. I want no younger than 30. And then like the next day, he meets this lady, she's 30 years old, and they, you know, whatever, and they end up falling in love, getting married, and she's a partner with him in ministry. And you know, so God spoke into his life something that was about to happen. There is a foretelling aspect sometimes of the prophetic gift, but sometimes it's a forthtelling. It's speaking forth what's going on in someone's heart. It's maybe exposing something in their heart that needs to be healed. God doesn't expose things to embarrass you. God never exposes things to embarrass. That's not his heart. He only exposes to heal. But I believe that we are called to be a prophetic people. There is a prophetic voice that needs to be in the church. We are called to be a prophetic people. God has put us on this earth to speak into the lives of people on his behalf, to speak the heart of God into the lives of people. That's the heart of what prophecy is. To speak specifically from the heart of God into the hearts and lives of people. If God created each person uniquely and individually, if God sent Jesus to suffer, die, and rise again to redeem each person from sin and death, don't you think that God might send someone with a unique and special tailor-made message to speak into their lives to see them come to him? I believe people don't just need to hear a generic gospel. They need to hear the heart of God for them. And when that happens, it will break them open to the hope and the love of God. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 14. And I want to look. 1 Corinthians 14 is all about how we function with these verbal gifts and how we do it rightly and properly. But we're going to start in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 14. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, people who don't yet know Jesus. We might call them seekers or unchurched people. Inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say you are all out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, in other words, speaking from the heart of God in a language they understand, they are convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What a beautiful picture of God speaking specifically into someone's heart, something that no one could know except God. Speaking into someone's heart about an area of brokenness or pain or sin or whatever in their lives. And they're like, wow, God must be here because you couldn't have known that, right? And their lives are broken open to the reality of God and to the presence of God. A practical picture of this is Jesus with the woman at the well. He comes, he's talking to her, she's closed. Who do you think you are? And you know, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are you talking to me? She's closed. Until Jesus says, go and call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And he said, yeah, you're right. You've had five men. You've been married to five men, and the man you're with now is not your husband. Wow! How could he know this? Right? All of a sudden, what is her response? Well, I observe that you're a prophet, right? Like, obviously, God is talking to you. And now her heart is cracked open, and she's willing to hear and receive the truth of God. And before the conversation is done, she's become a believer and she's run to get the rest of the town. That's the gift of prophecy in action in the life of Jesus. The way it's meant to be used. See, we often think that the gifts of the Spirit are so we can have a really cool church service. But the gifts of the Spirit are just as important on the streets as they are in the sanctuary. That we need to be a prophetic people, a people with the church with a prophetic voice that hears from the Lord, not just in our quiet time and prayer time, but as we're walking through our life and our day, we hear the word of the Lord in our hearts and we speak into people's lives, words that bring life to them. That is the gift of prophecy at work. We need to have something to say. We are a people of the word of God. We need to have something to say, and we need to have earned the right to say it, otherwise we might as well give up. Otherwise we're pathetic. We're a monument to what was instead of a mobilized body of what is. Pam said, can you say that again? If we don't have something prophetic to say, we are a monument to what was instead of a mobilized force for what is. That wasn't in my notes, so that's free. So we need to ask, as we go through our day and we encounter people, oftentimes it's just about pausing to listen. Jesus, as he walked through his day, would pause to listen to the Father. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father saying it. He would pause to listen. And I think so oftentimes, you know, us functioning in the gift, the prophetic gift in the lives of people is simply about us pausing to listen. Jesus, what is your heart for this person today? and give him a moment, an opportunity to drop something in our hearts that we can speak into their lives. Jesus came as prophet, priest, and king, right? We often say Jesus came as prophet, priest, and king. The one person up until that time in history when all of those offices were in one person. He was our prophet, our priest, and our king. But Jesus passed on all of those mantles to us. We are a royal priesthood. We are royalty. We got that from him. We are a priesthood. What does that mean? It means we stand in the gap between God and people, and we connect them. That's the office of a priest. But we also inherited prophecy from him. We are standing in that place of prophet, priest, and king with Jesus to connect God to people and people to God. Prophecy is not just for prophets. First of all, we get a little scared about the word prophet, to call someone a prophet, and I get that, because there's been a lot of abuse in history of people who said, I'm a prophet, I speak for God, don't you dare question what I say. Right? And there's good reason to be concerned when somebody goes around saying, I'm a prophet. But that doesn't mean that prophets are not a part of New Testament ministry. Sorry, but it's in the New Testament. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe and what we don't. And so we've got, for example, the prophet Agabus in Acts 11 and Acts 21. He's mentioned twice in the book of Acts. Agabus was a prophet. Philip's four daughters in Acts 21. His four daughters were prophets. Says very specifically. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Saul were all in a prayer meeting in Acts 13, and the Bible says they were prophets, and God spoke to them. And so there is a New Testament function of a prophet. It's important to recognize. But I want to look at this idea that prophecy is not just for prophets. In Moses, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Let me read that verse too very quickly. Starting in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. So God has placed in the church prophets, Paul says here in Acts 12, 28. Okay, so prophecy is not just for prophets. Moses, in Numbers 11, 29, God had arranged, because Moses was overwhelmed by the ministry that he had, and so God had arranged to take some of the spirit that was on Moses and to put it on 70 elders in Israel. 70 elders. And so they all received that anointing that was on Moses so that he wouldn't carry the burden of leadership alone. And some of the elders start prophesying, and Joshua comes and asks Moses to stop them. Moses, they're prophesying. They're ministering like you do, and they need to stop. And Moses says, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. Okay? So there's a sense in which, maybe this is a foretaste of what is to come. Maybe there is a sense in which we're all called to some kind of prophetic ministry. We're not all prophets. I believe prophets are people who are not only have the gift of prophecy, but they're in the body of Christ to equip other people for prophetic ministry. Right? So, man, time. God gave leadership gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Right? So, to do what? What are those leadership gifts for? To equip the saints for works of ministry. So he gives a prophet to equip saints to prophesy. Does that make sense? He gives the leadership gift of teachers to help other people teach, not just to teach, but to raise up teachers, to equip people for works of service. Okay. Paul said, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 14. First of all, let's look in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love. In other words, all the gifts of the Spirit need to be done in a spirit of love. Follow the way of love. And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, and they utter mysteries by the Spirit. But one who prophesies, one who speaks in a language that's understood, speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so the church can be edified. Paul says, I want everybody to prophesy. I want everybody to speak in tongues, but I'd even more rather have everybody prophesy. I believe that there are some who have the gift of prophecy. That's their primary calling and purpose. But I believe that all of us on a lesser level can speak prophetically into the lives of people. I think we're all called to do it. All of us. We are a prophetic people. We are a prophetic movement on the earth to speak the heart of God into the lives of people. There should be a prophetic edge to all New Testament ministry. Does God want to speak into your situation? Absolutely. Does he want to speak into the life of someone who is lost and broken and confused about life and their marriage has fallen apart? Does God want to speak into that? Absolutely. And he can and will use us to do it. Okay, quick thing about Old Testament, New Testament prophecy. Prophecy is different in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. Here's why. Because in the Old Testament, not all God's people had the Holy Spirit. Right? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon specific people for specific purposes, and God would speak through those people to the rest of the people who did not have the Holy Spirit. Right? We're on good biblical ground there? All right? So here's the deal. When an Old Testament prophet would speak, he would say, thus says the Lord, and you better not question it because it's God speaking. But in the New Testament, if I'm speaking a prophetic word into your life, I need to honor the fact that you also have the Holy Spirit, that you also hear from God. And if I pull a thus says the Lord and you better not question it, I am coming above you as if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and that's dishonoring and wrong. I need to honor the fact that you hear from God too. And if I'm going to speak into your life, it's going to be a witnessing of something he's probably already saying to you. It's not going to be brand new. Right? So, secondly, primarily in the Old Testament, prophecy is for the purpose of correcting and directing. Here's what you're doing wrong. Here's what you need to do. Right? Again, because people didn't have the Holy Spirit and God didn't speak directly into their hearts the way he does for us today. And so, correcting and directing. In the New Testament, we are told right in this passage, the New International Version that I read, it says that the one who prophesies to people for their the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. I pulled together three E words based on some different translations of the Bible, just because it's easier for me to remember. Edification, encouragement, and exhortation. And what do those words mean? Edification means to build somebody up, right? An edifice is another word for a building. So to edify someone is to build them up, to strengthen them. For their strengthening, for their encouragement, I think you know what encouragement is, right? We're good there. And for their exhortation, what's exhortation? Here's what I think exhortation is. Not what I think it is, but here's a good example of it. Is when you're on a team and you've got a coach who's helping you to do your best, right? And he gets right in your face and he says, come on, you can do it. Push harder. You can do it. That's exhortation. You're challenging somebody because you believe in them, because you know that they've got more in them, more that God wants to do through them. And that's exhortation, right? It's not to cut them down. It's not to criticize. It's to build them up. It's to strengthen them and to encourage them. That is the heart of New Testament prophecy. Edification, encouragement, and exhortation. And so if somebody comes across with a critical spirit, you know right away that is not God. That's not God. It's not his spirit. And in the Old Testament, there's a lot of foretelling, and today prophecy is mostly forthtelling. It can be foretelling, but mostly forthtelling. Okay. Prophetic ministry demystified. Here's the deal. Sometimes we function in a prophetic gift and we don't even realize we did. Because, B, we think it's got to be this weird thing where the Holy Spirit takes your mouth and flaps it for you and you don't even know what's happening. We make it into this strange thing. And it's not strange and it's not weird. And you don't have to go into some weird trance to be used in a gift of prophecy. And so we'll talk again more about this when we get to weird to wow in a couple weeks. But let's realize this is very simple. Again, think of Jesus and the woman at the well. There was nothing weird about that. He was just having a conversation, but he spoke truth into her life very specifically from the heart of God that cracked her life open. Right? And so we can all be used by speaking with prophetic gift. So, as I said earlier, sometimes it's just about stopping to listen. You're in a conversation with someone, and you know that they need to hear from the Lord in their situation. And you know that they don't know Him, and how are they going to hear from Him unless somebody speaks into their lives? And so you pause in your heart for a moment and say, God, what is your heart for this person today? What do you want to say to them to bring life, to bring encouragement, to help them break through into your presence? And God will, maybe not every situation, but God will speak to you. Let me clarify. When I say God will speak to you, I'm not talking about an audible voice. But God will plant, He'll drop a picture in your mind. And sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a red wheelbarrow and you're like, I don't know what that means. But take a risk, take a step. And here's an example. I had a pastor friend went to a meeting where there was just some stuff going on, and this person got up and he said, I don't know what this means. God gave me a picture and it's really strange, and I just need to say it because I can't get it off my mind. I just see a picture of a Cheshire cat, and it's got a great big grin on its face, but it's got a big gob of something in its teeth. I don't know what that means, and I think it's weird, but I just need to say it. And everybody just kind of looks funny at him, and he sits down, and everybody's just like, okay, what was that? And about 10 minutes later, somebody comes up and says, I need to say something. I'm from Cheshire, England. And I believe God is saying to us that we look really good. We think we look really good, and we got this big smile on as a church. We think everybody thinks we're just the best, but I think there is some stuff in our teeth. I think there's some stuff that the community around us sees and we don't even see it. And I think God's talking to us about getting our house in order. Right? So sometimes things are just weird. You know, it's a picture. I don't know what it means. But if God's talking, the person you're talking to is going to know something. It's going to connect somehow. And you know what? Here's the deal. So sometimes we say, well, I don't want to step out there and say something that might just be me. Here's the deal. You're either always functioning in it by a demonic spirit, by a human spirit, or by the Spirit of God. It's the only options, right? You speak an encouraging word to someone. A, it's not the devil. He doesn't want to encourage anybody. And B, if it's just you, so what? The person was encouraged. Right? It's a win-win. We need to take some risks and step out there and let God maybe try to use us. And if we fall on our face, it's okay. We get back up and we try it again. The first time you do anything, you learn how to not do it the second time because you fall on your face and you, right? And it's okay. But I want to encourage us today to rise up and be the prophetic people God has called us to be. Handle what you see and hear with wisdom. Here's the deal. God might show you something negative about someone's life. That doesn't mean you need to speak a negative word. In fact, if God shows you something negative, you need to speak to the opposite. Here's another quick example. I know a pastor who he was visiting a church, doing a conference there, and God showed him that the associate pastor, he showed him a picture of the associate pastor stabbing the senior pastor in the back. And he knew that there was, in some way, this associate pastor was betraying the trust of the senior pastor. And so instead of saying, hey, you're stabbing the senior pastor in the back, he turns around and he says, guys, come here. And he puts them back to back, and he grabs a broom, and he sticks it in the hand of the associate pastor, like a sword or a stick. And he says, you are here to guard the back of this senior pastor. He didn't have to criticize. He didn't have to speak the negative. God showed him something so he could pray into it and then speak what should be. We're here to speak what should be. That's the heart of God, right? So handle what you see or hear from the Lord with wisdom. You are just the delivery person. You're not responsible for their obedience. You're not responsible for them, how they respond to it. Your mail delivery guy doesn't bring you the Rogers bill and then come back next week and say, hey, did you pay that? He's just the delivery guy. When you're a prophet, you just simply deliver the message and your job is done, right? And lastly, keep it New Testament. So be careful about being directive, telling people who they're going to marry or what they're going to do, or, you know, you should take this job. Be very careful about those kinds of things, because we honor the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. Amen? Worship team, come on up, please.